While the revolution occurring in contemporary Islam is often seen through the prism or lens of explosive headline events, of radicalism and extremism, the real revolution is that quiet revolution that I've talked about before, that quiet revolution in Islamic discourse and activism. The Quran, the Sunnah, example of the Prophet Muhammad, remain normative for all Muslims, but questions of interpretation, authenticity, and application have become contentious items. Muslim scholars distinguish the eternal, immutable principles and laws in the Quran from its human interpretation and application, fiqh. That interpretation by early jurists that are prescriptions that were responses to specific context. Some today distinguish between the Meccan, the earlier and more religiously minded and binding, and Medinan chapters of the Quran that are seen as primarily political, concerned with Muhammad's creation of the state in Medina, and therefore not regarded by some as universally binding. Many ulama, religious scholars, continue to accept the authoritative traditions, hadith of the Prophet, but other Muslim scholars distinguish between authoritative texts and those that are not authentic. Although the example, Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad, has always been normative in Islam, from earliest times, Muslim scholars saw the need to critically examine and authenticate the enormous number of prophetic traditions or hadith in order to distinguish between authoritative texts and pious fabrications. In the 20th century, a sector of modern Western scholarship questioned the historicity and authenticity of the hadith. Many maintained that the bulk of prophetic traditions were written much later. However, most Muslim scholars and some Western non-Muslim scholars have taken exception with this sweeping position. If many of the ulama continue to unquestioningly accept the authoritative collections of the past, other scholars have in fact become more critical in their approach and use of tradition literature. New approaches to the study and interpretation of Islam's sacred sources have been accompanied by similar debates over the nature of Islamic law, the Sharia. As noted earlier, and certainly above in this lecture, many of the ulama continue to equate Sharia, God's law, with its exposition in legal manuals developed by the early law schools. Other Muslims, from Islamic modernists like Muhammad Abdu and Ahmad Khan and Muhammad Iqbal, to Islamic revivalists and neo-modernists today, have distinguished between those laws based on clear text of the Quran and Hadith, and other laws that are the product of human interpretation and application, the product of reason and social custom. Some express this distinction as between the eternal law, Sharia, of God, and its human interpretation and application, fiqh, by the early jurist. The distinction is often articulated in terms of the classical division of law into a Muslim's duties or obligations to God, worship, and his or her duties to others, social obligations. The former, worship, for example, the performance of the five pillars of Islam, are seen as unchanging. The latter are contingent upon historical and social circumstances, and therefore open to change. Contemporary Muslim discussion and debate over the role of Islam in state and society reflect a broad array of questions. Is there one classical model or many possible models for the relationship of religion to political, social, and economic development? If a new Islamic synthesis is to be achieved that provides continuity with past tradition, how will this be accomplished? Imposed from above by rulers and or the ulama? Or legislated from below through a representative electoral process, through parliamentary system of government, for example? Legal reform remains a contested issue in many Muslim states that implemented Western-inspired legal codes. Governments imposed reforms from above through legislation, and we discussed some of this in earlier lectures. In more recent decades, the debate over the Sharia has become a contentious issue. Does Islamization of law mean the wholesale reintroduction of classical law as formulated in the early Islamic centuries, or does it mean the development of new laws derived from the Quran and Sunnah of the Prophet, but the inclusion of laws, whatever their source, which are not contrary to Islam? Who is to oversee this process? Rulers, the ulama, or parliaments? The reintroduction of Islamic law has not followed a fixed pattern or a set interpretation. During the post-independence period, significant changes occurred in many countries, broadening the educational and employment opportunities, and enhancing the legal rights of Muslim women. Women became more visible in the professions, teachers, lawyers, engineers, physicians, and in government.